So back in May was my birthday, and because I never have an answer to the question, what is your hobby? I decided that I wanted to pick up a new hobby, and I asked my wife Ashley and my girls to get me the supplies that I would need to start watercolor painting. So that's the hobby that I decided to take on. Obviously, you can tell Fortnite dancing is not going to be my hobby, but I'm trying my hand at watercoloring. You can see some of my handiwork there. I don't think I'm going to be featured in any museums anytime soon. You know, I'm not the most talented artist ever, but with some YouTube tutorials and some raw talent, I think I'm doing all right. But what's so fun to me about this is I've actually been able to already be generous with this new hobby, and it's not just about myself. So the first picture there of the mountains, that actually I painted as a thank you for my mother-in-law, because she and her husband, they took us on a family vacation to New Mexico, so I gave her that as a gift. And then the other one, the chickens, I gave that to my friend and assistant, Debbie. Debbie Erskine's our assistant, and she takes such good care of us. She's always making sure that we're able to accomplish our ministry, and so I called that Mother Hen just because she's always looking out for us. So anyway, at least the moms in my life appreciate my masterpieces, right? If nobody else. In fact, as I say that, I recognize I haven't made anything for my own mom, so she's going to listen to this online. Mom, you'll get something for Christmas, okay? It's coming. It's coming. But this morning, what I want you to look at and think about is the reality that you are God's masterpiece. Now, some of you may hear that and you go, hang on, that doesn't make any sense. You don't know me. Yes, I do. And you are God's masterpiece. See, as we talk about this message of talents today, this is the framework of understanding that I want you to work through as we wrap up this series, Generous. And this morning, we're wrapping up by looking at talents, but remember, talents is just one portion of what we've been talking about with the you guide mark, the you of our guide marks. Our guide marks are our framework for personal growth. In fact, I would encourage you, take your guide marks card either out of your Bible or grab one from the seat back in front of you, and let's review what the you of guide marks is all about. The you is for using the gifts I have been given. Using the gifts that I've been given. What we believe is that personal growth requires using our time, talents, and treasures to serve God and to serve others. And when I am generous, there's that key word there, when I am generous with my time, with my abilities and my resources, I see God use me. And who doesn't want to be used by God? I really believe that everybody does, right? You want your life to have meaning. You want it to matter. You want God to use you, but you have questions, real questions that become real barriers to being used. Things like, why would God use me? Have you felt that before? Man, why would God use me? Real questions like, what if I don't have gifts? What if I don't have talents? How can God use me? Or maybe you recognize that you do have gifts and you do have talents, but as far as you see and understand them, you look at them and you go, how could God use them? How could God use the gifts that I have or the talents that I have? Well, this morning, we're going to turn to the Bible for some help and for some instruction. And I want you to turn with me and we're going to look at some of my favorite passages of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 2. Ephesians is in the New Testament. It's just before Philippians. We just spent 10 weeks studying Philippians this fall. So right before the book of Philippians, you have Ephesians. If you don't have a Bible this morning, we're going to put the words up on the screen. You can follow along as I teach. And if you'd like a free copy of the Bible this morning, don't leave without one after the service. Go by the Welcome Center. We want to give you a free copy of the Bible. So Ephesians chapter 2, let's begin with verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Yeah, I love this passage because to me this is such a clear and simple presentation of the gospel. This is the truth, the core of Christianity in a nutshell. This is the Christian faith, that salvation is by grace, through faith, and not by works. This is the heart of who we are as followers of Christ. We've been saved by the grace of God through faith and not by our own good works. So this idea of rescue or salvation, this rescue from sin, this rescue from ourselves, this rescue from the death that we deserve, this is God's good work of grace, period. You see, even our faith is not a human work. You and I don't have faith in Christ because we're more insightful, more spiritual, more moral, more intellectual, because we have greater abilities than others. No, even our faith is a grace gift of God. Salvation is God's work in me. And it's critical that we have that foundation. Write that in your notes. Salvation is God's work in me. Ephesians 2 makes that so clear. So this morning, I want you to let that be clear. Just let that be clear in your heart and in your mind that salvation is the work of God in you. And what that means is that you don't try to save yourself. You stop trying to earn God's love and God's favor and God's approval. It means that you're no longer deceived by the lie that you have to work your way into heaven. But you just simply rest in the work of God. Rest in the grace of God and rest in what Jesus has done for us. And as soon as you have absorbed those truths, then you're ready to read on to verse 10. So let's reread it this morning. Verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I want you to see this here, this sequence this morning. God created us. Right? We talked a little bit about this last week. We believe that God is the creator, the inventor, the initiator. God created us. And then if you're a follower of Christ, you have been recreated. The Bible uses the word reborn, right? It's like a second birth. We've been reborn or recreated in salvation by the work of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then after we're created and recreated, then we go about doing the good works that God has planned and prepared in advance for us to do. Why has God done this? For us to do good works. So if salvation is the good work of God in me, then it results in the good works coming out of me. You see that the grace of God comes into us and the grace of God flows through us. This is what happens when you are saved. We are not saved by serving, but we are saved to serve. We're saved for serving. And so, Christ follower, what this means for you is that you've been recreated by God through the work of Jesus Christ to do good works to the glory of God, for the good of others, and for the advancement of the kingdom, period. And that's why God would use you. That's why God would use me. Works are not the root of our faith. They are the fruit of our faith. And God wants to use us because every time a Christ follower is transformed, it's this picture of the old becoming new. It's the selfish becoming selfless, the greedy becoming generous. It's a picture of the miraculous work of Jesus in the life of a human heart. It shows that his work in us is resulting in these good works. But you hear this and you say, "But I really don't feel worthy of that." Well, then I would suggest that you have missed the point of grace altogether. Or you hear this and you think, "Yeah, but I really don't have gifts and I don't have talents that God could use." Then you've missed the truth of Ephesians 2 altogether. I want to make sure that you see this. I want you to see a key word in verse 10 and circle this in your Bible. It's the word handiwork. Handiwork. That word at its core, at its root, means like a work of art, meaning that you are God's workmanship. That's what other translations say. You are God's masterpiece. You are the handiwork of God. How many of you have looked in creation and seen clear evidence of the glory of God? Right? We look at the mountains and we see God's glory on display. You look at the trees, at the birds, at the flowers, at the sky, and it's evidence of God's creative work. And yet when you look at yourself, you miss seeing the good work of God's creation in you. Listen, when God created you, physically made you, that is a work of God. That is a work of God's workmanship, his handiwork. You are his masterpiece. When you look at the beginning and the origins of creation, you see that humankind is some of God's best work. you're a greater demonstration of the power of God when you think about the complexity and the systems and the creative work in the human being. It's even greater than what you see in the mountains. You're just not seeing it. And then that's not even considering the spiritual rework of God, the recreation, the rebirth, right? The fact that God could take you and transform you and change you, the spiritual work of renewal. This is an even greater demonstration of the miracle-working power of God. If you have been created by God and recreated by God, you are the handiwork of God. And if you don't see that truth, then you are missing out on the reality that God wants to use you to demonstrate his miracle-working power. And I want to be very clear. If you're not embracing that truth, I actually believe that that is the opposite of worship. It is an offense to God. When you look at what he created and sees as his handiwork and sees as good, and you declare it to be less than, you are diminishing the work of God in you. And some of you need to hear that very, very clearly this morning, and you just simply need to choose to stop. Stop diminishing the good work of Jesus in you. Stop choosing this false humility, which is really just another source of pride, and it's a disservice to the grace of God. Stop offering these up as excuses and embrace the truth that you are God's handiwork. Now, if we're going to engage in the good work that God has for us, we must understand the dimensions and the depths of what it means for us to be created and recreated as the handiwork of God. And one of the best descriptions that I've seen for this that's helpful to me came from pastor and author Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. And he created this tool that I think is really helpful for us to see all of the levels of what God has done in uniquely creating each of us. He calls it shape, basically saying that we are shaped for ministry. The idea is you were shaped by God to serve God, shaped by God to serve God. And this shape is an acronym, and the S is where it begins. It starts with spiritual gifts. This is undeniably the most important piece of your ministry shape and my ministry shape, our spiritual gifts. To understand this, look at 1 Corinthians 12. We'll put it on the screens, 4, 5, and 6. This is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible about spiritual gifts. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. You begin to see what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. You see that the Holy Spirit of God gives every Christ follower gifts that are to be used in ministry. They are God-given, they are Spirit-empowered, and they are gifts of grace, and God gives generously. They've been generously given to us as believers at salvation and even beyond. And spiritual gifts are given to you not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others, especially for the good of the church, like we talked about last week. The reality about spiritual gifts is that you don't earn them. You don't deserve them, but you are expected to use them. After all, what is the point of an unopened gift? Now, you may hear all that and think, I don't even know where to start. I don't know how to think about this. I don't know how to process this. This may even be brand new to you. Well, I'll tell you your first step in discovering your spiritual gifts. First, it's prayer, and then Bible reading. You need to read and understand the theology of what the Bible has to say about spiritual gifting. And I've given you three key passages there in your notes for you to go and take later. You're not going to be able to do it this morning in the context of the service. You're going to have to take this as homework and read through these. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. The references are there in your program notes. Read through those. Understand what the Bible has to say about these spiritual gifts. And then pray. Pray that God would help you to discover yours. That he would reveal these to you. And once you've prayed and once you've read, then find a fellow Christ follower who knows you well and ask them what gifts they've seen in you. Some of us just need a little bit of help discovering what we are as God's handiwork. And there's nothing wrong with asking someone that you trust, another Christ follower with perspective, and asking them, what gifts have you seen in me that I could use in ministry for the glory of God? This would be a great discussion for you to have around the table at your small group this week as we discuss this lesson. Talk about that. Help each other out and dig into those things, but go on this journey of discovery praying, reading, and asking to discover your spiritual gifts. Let's keep moving. The H stands for heart. And I think the best way to understand this is combining it with the word passions. In fact, you might want to write out beside heart in your notes, passion or passions. Ask yourself, what has God given me a heart for? Right? What is it that my heart beats for? This thing that's inside of me that the only reason to explain why I care is because God put it there. Do you have any passions or interests that you believe are God-given? Is there a people group that you think God has broken your heart for? Is there an age group that you have an interest in? Maybe you care about the elderly and the homebound. Maybe you care about the preschooler or the preteen. What is it that God has just given you a unique level of interest in? Do you have a cause that God's just laid on your heart? And there's no other way to explain why you care about it at this level other than that it is something the Holy Spirit has burdened you for. Or maybe you think about heart and you say, man, I just have a heart to serve. I just have a general heart for the church and a passion for the next generation. My desire, my heart's desire is just to serve where I'm needed. Listen, God can use that willing heart for sure. There is nothing wrong with simply seeing a need and meeting a need. There's nothing wrong with just having a passion to serve where you're needed, to see some door that God opens and then to walk through it. Not every single act of ministry and service that we engage in is always going to be tied to the core passions of our heart, right? There's great value in just simply having God expose your mind to a need and then saying yes. And the A stands for abilities. Abilities. This one is most closely linked to the word talents in terms of the way that we think about it. The reality is everyone has God-given talents. Sometimes we think of these things as being natural abilities, something we were born with, something that we've been given from birth. Sometimes we think of these as being skills that we've developed, skills that we've had to work hard to develop and to grow in. Sometimes these skill sets are things that are physical attributes. Sometimes they're things that are more intellectual in nature. But the reality is we all possess a wide diversity of skill sets. And whatever it is that you have, whatever skills that you have, it can be used by God for ministry and service. Sometimes you just have to be creative. But the reality is your skills can be engaged in ministry. The P is for personality. And this is all about the way that we're individually wired. This is a part of what makes you uniquely you. And the reality is there are all kinds of uniquenesses about the way that we're made and the way that we think, right? There are people who are introverts and there are people who are extroverts. And we need both in ministry. There are spontaneous people and high self-control people, thinkers and feelers, upfront people and behind-the-scenes people, task-oriented people and people-oriented people. The reality is however you're wired, whatever the way is that your mind works and the way that you think, it's a part of who you are, what makes you uniquely you, and it can be a part of the way that you're used, the way that you serve, and the way that you give your gifts to God. And then lastly, the E of shape stands for experience, and this is certainly unique to each person and to your journey that you've been on. I want you to think about experience in very, very broad terms. Let me help you think about all kinds of experiences. You have work experiences or vocational experiences, educational experiences, past ministry experiences, spiritual experiences, moments of connection with God. You have life experiences, and even painful experiences. Difficulties that you've faced, hurts that you've had, struggles that you've walked through, even sin struggles that you've dealt with. All of these experiences can be used by God for the good of someone else. What has been a part of your journey and impacted you that God could perhaps use for his glory and for someone else's good. I think when you begin to see your full shape, spiritual gifts and heart and abilities and personality and experiences, you see that God has uniquely crafted you, and there is not another one that is like that masterpiece, not another one in all of creation. You are uniquely shaped by God for ministry. And the reality is, for you to really discover your shape, you're going to have to spend some time on this. This can't be accomplished in 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. And so what I would encourage you to do is to take those program notes this week, and under every individual letter, I've put a question for you to process and to think through. Take the time this week to sit down and let this be your homework and work through those questions, prayerfully work through them, answering those questions, asking God for help, asking others that you trust, other Christ followers, for help in discovering those things. Really think through them and seek God for guidance. And my guess is that when you do, and you think about the whole shape that God has given you, you'll begin to see that you have a lot of talents and a lot of gifts that God can put to good use. And it's just time for you to start. To start somewhere, to take a next step. And this morning, I want to present to you several specific next steps. I have some specific challenges for us as a church that I want you to consider. First of all, your mind still may be stuck on last week on the topic of time. And you may still be dealing with that and thinking about that and thinking, I don't have the time. I recognize that my time is limited. I recognize that I need to do some reordering of my priorities. And I've got some time to fix and to change some things. Well, the reality is that doesn't have to stop you from being obedient and taking a next step in serving and ministry. It doesn't have to keep you from being obedient to use the gifts that God has given you. A good first step that you could take leverages the time that you're already here on a Sunday morning. We call this EV1, everyone, volunteer one, and experience one. Everyone, experience one, and volunteer one. The idea is that you can engage in a worship service on Sunday morning and in the same time frame serve in a ministry. Sometimes you can do that in 1 hour, sometimes it takes 2 hours, but all of us can do this in the Sunday morning context. The reality is 75% or more of the volunteer ministry that we have here at Brazos Point is experienced in the Sunday morning time frame. And so my encouragement to you is this: if you're not serving, if you're not contributing in this way, take a step. Say yes. Volunteer. Don't just come and attend here this morning, but broaden your Sunday morning experience and contribute and help us to build a church for the unchurched. You go, well, but my kids, guess what? We've thought of that too. And our next gen team has created something that we call overtime. It's an experience for kids that come 2 hours on a Sunday morning, two services, and it gives them a different experience and a different opportunity to learn the same things in a different environment where they're still having a great time. So don't make excuses, just take next steps. And then there's another next step that I actually want to issue to folks that already volunteer. If you're already engaged and you're in the game, I want you to think and to pray about this. This is a challenge. Take a step deeper. Take a step deeper into ministry. Take on more. If you're in a role that's once a month or once every 6 weeks, find a role that's weekly. Take a step deeper. Give more often of your time. Be more engaged as a volunteer. Become a director or a ministry leader of the ministry that you're a part of. If there's anything that the launch of the Mid-County Campus has exposed for us, is that we need more and more layers of leaders in our ministries at Brazos Point. We need more and more structure. So step deeper into leadership of the ministry that you serve in. Or maybe make a move out. Make a move out of the ministry that you've been serving in for almost a decade and step into a different area that requires more commitment and gives more responsibility. Step out of that and into something else. Recognize that as followers of Christ, the greatest ministry that Jesus has called each and every one of us to is the ministry of disciple making. If you're a Christ follower, you are called to be a disciple maker, and we need help making disciples. We need you to step up and help us make disciples of preschoolers, of elementary, of preteen, of students, and yes, even adults. And the way that we do this is through small group ministry from birth all the way up through adulthood. Small group ministry is our way of making disciples. Come help us in the work of disciple making. Take a step deeper and say yes to doing that in one of those age groups. And the reality is, as you move into that, it will create space for new folks to take their first steps in serving. You'll create space on other teams that other people need to move into. You can make room by going deeper. Another idea, another outlet for change could possibly be serving outside the walls in our community partners. We've got a dozen or so community partners right here around our communities that we're partnered with that we believe in Christ-centered ministries. Things like the Pregnancy Help Center, Texas Port Ministry, True to Life Ministry, Salvation Army. There's a dozen of them. And know this, that we get just as excited and we celebrate just as much when one of our folks steps into their ministry areas. We celebrate that just as much as if you said yes to serving inside Brazos Point. We want to be generous with the people that God has entrusted to us. So step into those roles. Again, creating space for someone else to step into taking their first step in serving and in ministry. Guys, I recognize this morning that these are challenging next steps. And I'm putting some big things in front of you this morning. It's a big step to get started in serving. And it's a big step to move out of something you're comfortable with and something you've been doing for a long time to take a step deeper into more commitment and responsibility. I've prayed about putting this challenge before you. And I feel like this is the right challenge for our church. As we collectively take our next step with God, we need to individually make some moves and see some movement into ministry and deeper into ministry. And so this is challenging. But we want to make initiating this conversation as simple as possible. Two ways you can do that this morning. One is through the BPF app. If you go to the home screen of the app, it says, I want to serve. There's inside the walls. There's outside the walls. That'll engage you in a conversation. You can talk about taking a first step. You can talk about engaging deeper. That'll get you connected with our staff that can help create that movement for you. The other thing is, if you want a more personal connection, a personal touch, I'm going to the Next Step Center after the service. I'll be there. Others will be there with me. And we'll be there to talk. We'll be there to help you fill out a card and begin connecting you with a conversation as you can consider going deeper or taking that first step. But make some movement this morning. Let's say yes to God and move and just see what God does. I'm going to put this challenge before you, and I'm going to pray for you. So let's pray. God, this morning, I pray that you would help us to build a foundation of truth in our hearts and minds, the truth that we are saved by your grace through faith and not by works. Let us never forget that or be distracted by any other deceitful ideas. God, we thank you and pray that you would build this foundation in our hearts, that we are saved to serve, and that you've created us for these works that you've prepared in advance for us to do, and we don't want to miss what you have for us, God. God, I pray that you would help us to have this truth in our hearts and minds that we've been shaped by you for service, that you have uniquely created us. God, specifically for the person this morning that struggles to see their worth and their value and their gifting, I pray that you would help them to move beyond that you would heal their hearts and that you would fix their minds, that they are a handiwork of Almighty God. I pray that you would do that, God. God, I thank you this morning for this people. I am so grateful that you've entrusted to us this fellowship of folks, and I pray, God, that we would steward well all of the people resources that you have given us as leaders. God, I know that to whom much is given, much is expected, and I pray, God, that Brazos Point would steward well and be responsible for the much that you have given us, and for individuals this morning, God, you've put so much in them, and I pray, God, that they would take steps. So God, we ask for your guidance and for your help. God, we ask the words that we sang earlier, that you would replace fear with courage, and that we would just simply believe that your plan for us is better.